Come here, you stupid chair. I'm going to sit for this. Enough standing for one day. Hey. Hey, what's going on? You come here often? You probably do, actually, because I haven't done this in a while, and I keep promising I'm going to do it more. I really am, though. Like, I really do want to do... Well, my heart's in the right place. Let's put it that way. But last couple of months, kind of the definition of busy around here, around these here parts. And I have a huge list of things to get done, and it's not done. It's not easy, too, because when you're that busy and you have that much stuff committed to and enough people counting on things from you, you run into this problem where it starts to take a toll on you physically a little bit. Pretty pooped out, you know? My doctor, who is concerned about my other weird thing that came up a couple months ago. Oh, pardon me. Shouldn't yawn on a show. Jeez, Scott. Professionalism here. Let's bring the levels back up. He's concerned that I'm... overworked, overstressed, and I don't take enough time to take downtime. And he's right, I don't. So this weekend was hopefully going to be one of those weekends. At least initially look like there was a ton of commitments or things going on. But that's all bullcrap. There's totally a ton of things going on now. Some of it is good and fun and all that, and some of it sucks. So here I go into yet another weekend, which really isn't much of a weekend. For me. Look, don't feel bad for me. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Because I'm fine. It's fine. It's just, and you know what? It really is all good things. It's just that it's just me. So somebody asked on the morning show, actually the PM version of the morning show on Thursday via Twitter. They asked the question, what happens if Scott dies, if I suddenly disappear, shake off this mortal coil, as the kids are fond of saying, what happens then? And I'd never really asked myself that before. I mean, I'm not suddenly having all these conversations with myself about my own mortality. That's not really what's going on. But pretty sure nothing would happen. In other words, nothing would get made. So if you like everything that's happening or like the things I'm making or creating or pushing around or whatever, they would all likely cease to exist in all likelihood. And my wife doesn't even have, we were talking about this too, she doesn't even have passwords to most of my stuff. So she couldn't, she couldn't get on Twitter and say, hey, everybody, sorry, my husband died over the weekend. Toodaloo. Because she doesn't even have access to do that. So there's a chance, if it happened tomorrow, for example, that you guys wouldn't even know about it. You'd have to hear it through some weird grapevine connection thing where, you know, virally somebody I know, physically know in town would tell somebody else who would tell somebody else who knew somebody who follows someone else on Twitter who lets them know, and then they start to spread it, and it kind of goes from there. Well, she'd likely call all my co-hosts. We have their numbers and let them know what's going on, but it's a pretty weird idea. I hadn't really thought about it before. You kind of figure just be around, you know, forever. And I plan to be around a lot longer than tomorrow, but you know what I mean? So when you're faced with that question, it's a little spooky, a little weird. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. I don't know how to feel about the idea that it would just stop. You know, that's weird. I mean, what would you guys do? Would it be fine? No big deal. Move on. Plenty of other fish in that sea. Lots of other stuff getting made on the internet. No shortage of that. Just go over there and just, muscle in on some of that action right there. That's what you'd have to do. You'd be forced to do that. In the morning period, you know, well, what is normal for mourning somebody's loss that isn't directly related to you. So like, let's say, you know, when Steve Jobs died and a lot of people were affected by that because they're Apple fans or not, they respected what he was able to accomplish or whatever. How long did it take those guys to sort of get over it? Or when a famous actor dies who meant a lot to you, Harold Ramis died. How many days did you go, oh, Harold Ramis. Harold Ramis. You probably didn't go very long. I mean, the way the news cycle works, you guys are probably in and out and over it. Let's max it out at about 5 days. That's probably about as long as people would probably care. And then, you know, maybe 3 months from that, they go, oh man, I really do miss that stuff. And then a year from then, oh, remember that? Yeah, that was great. I sure missed that. And that's about it. That's what you get. I think I got to be okay with it. Cause you know, I can control some of this. I'm eating healthy, I'm working out, running every day. I don't have any giant risk factors that I'm aware of, mortally speaking. There's no string of cancer in my family. Like, that's not a hereditary situation. Although my brother, well, just my brother, I guess, had a little early stage melanoma, but they got it early and got rid of it. I'm a pretty white guy, but I'm not a big sun guy either. So I think that stuff's all fine. There is some history of heart crap in my family. My dad died of a heart attack at 63. His father before him at 80 something. But you know what? If I have a heart attack at 80 something, no problem. Bring it on. I'm good by then. It's fine. No one's going to care about the stuff I did when I was living in 2014 anyway then. So that's fine. But yeah. I guess there's some of that, but you know, on the whole, I'm not really in any kind of major risk, but you know, nobody can kind of predict when a giant semi truck runs you over because you went head on in the wrong way on the highway or something. Or nobody can control some crazy dude with a gun sniping people randomly at a park. I watched too many movies. Speaking of whispering, do you hear, there's that, I heard this on This American Life, and then I did a little looking around, and there was actually even a Patreon for somebody who's making videos for these people, but there's a condition called ALDR. Do I have that right? Obviously, I didn't study it that much. But it's this thing where people are really, there's something, okay, there's, so it's not clinically proven, or there haven't been scientific studies that one way or another show that this is an actual condition for people, but supposedly there's some triggers in the brain that creates immense and intense amounts of pleasure in your brain that are triggered by people whispering on videos or like role playing that they're a nurse. And I don't mean this in all some sexy way. I mean, just like someone taking care of you and doing it in whispered tones, like just lay back and you know, rest your head and let's get a little rest now. And the blanket, okay, okay. If not, let me know. We can get a warmer blanket. Like that kind of, like a real nurse would do. That stuff is somehow like uber cathartic and helps them create this sensation, which is like this just a super intense pleasure center thing in their head, in their brain. And again, it's not sexual. That's not the point of it. They are all telling me. I mean, I don't know for sure, but that's what they all say. And some of it is just straight up dude whispering, like what somebody wants specifically is somebody whispering on a video like this. And in their hands, they have little objects in their hands. They do like this. Right? I'm not judging. I just think it's very interesting and new to me. I'd never heard of it. But is anyone else? I'd love feedback on that. Who knows what that is? Anyone else there out there have that? Is that a thing you deal with each and every or so day? Apparently, it's brought on pretty intensely by who's the PBS painter, Bob Ross. So him going little fluffy clouds, and let's just get a little grass over here with a little extra green. Oh yeah, we love the green. Like that guy, when he's a super trigger for these people. So it's kind of like if you had a bacon thing where every time you smell bacon, you just had to have it. Apparently Bob Ross is the equivalent of that for people who have this ALDR thing. I don't think I have the right acronym. I apologize. Anyway, that's what that was. That's what was going on there. People have been dying to know. So I had teased, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago that I would use this as a forum to talk about an email I got that just really cut me to the core. I don't usually have that happen. And first of all, I've said this on this before, and I'll say it again. I get really, really nice emails and feedback from people, and it's very rare I get anything trolly or overtly angry or any of those things. It's very, very rare. So when it happens, it kind of sticks out. And you know, for all the moaning and complaining about the internet being a troll fest, I haven't had to deal with it as much as I think some have. I don't know why that is, though. That's a different conversation, I guess. But anyway, maybe there's something wrong with me. Got this email out of the blue that was, how do I explain this? Just, I can't remember what it was about it per se that really freaked me out. And I'm not going to read this verbatim, but here's what it said. Essentially, this is what it said. And some of this is word for word, but I can't remember exactly. I deleted this email. But it was like this. Basically, it said, quit telling us about being a parent. Nobody gives two rats asses about your kids. Go off in a corner, get cancer, and die. And that was the email, or that was the entirety of it. That was the whole email. Now, my assumption is it was a dude, but it may have been a lady. Could have been a girl. Could have been someone of the female persuasion. But as everyone knows, I'm biased towards women. I actually think women are nice and all the time, more than they probably are. And as misguided as that may be, I always assume if someone's being a jerk, it's probably a guy. I don't know why. This has come up before on other things. We don't have to discuss it here, so move along. Anyway, this person just, you know, I mean, it felt like an insult to my kids. But, and then the other thing, whatever, it's just, he's just saying the worst thing you could say. But what bothered me about it the most was how it was the most plain example, the most obvious example of somebody who would say a thing without ever saying it to your face. Like, if you wanted a textbook example of an email that was full of trolly intentions that was truly directed towards somebody without any acknowledgement that you might actually be in the room with that person or have to talk to them face to face. I mean, this is like textbook example of that. And those always throw me for a loop because I feel like we should be past that. Now it's difficult. You know, I can't tell age of this person. He could be 14. This could have been a bet from some other friend of his. They listened to the instance or something. I mean, this has happened before. I've been prank called and then called that number back because they didn't realize the numbers come over on the emails I get with those attachments, and kind of called the kid on it and it freaked him out. But, and he was young. And so I understand that there could be a maturity deal going on here, but I really don't have any way of knowing. For all I know, this is a 28-year-old professional just fresh out of college and on his way to a beautiful career in business management. I don't know. And because I don't know, I'm left but to wonder, right? But forget about all that. What I would really like one of these people to do, I didn't reply to him. I've done this in the past. I wish I would have. Not that it would have done me any good. And I don't even know if that email was real. It looked a little fruity, a little weird. But I would like to know if people like that if they really have a point, they have something to say, I would gladly meet them face to face. I might even fly somewhere to do it. Like if he lived in Portland or something, on my way, man, been wanting to visit anyway, come check out what the hipsters are doing. See how dreary your clouds are in your rain. Come try your artisanal apple cider or whatever it is you're making on the street. Whatever mumbo jumbo, phony baloney, hipster, giant, thick rim glasses, bullcrap you guys are up to right now. I'd go there and I would sit down in a room with that guy and I would demand he say to me what he said in the email. And I guarantee you he wouldn't do it. I guarantee you this person is not capable of that kind of communication face to face. He may talk to me, but he ain't saying that. Partially because I'd probably be tempted to kick his ass, right? But he probably wouldn't do it anyway because people don't do this. This is like some weird cloak of night, I don't know, hidden thing. And the fact that he would take time out of his whatever life and send it via email and then expect me to open it, like just to go through that rigmarole to get it to me, means he meant this in some way. I mean, he had some intent here to rile things up. And perhaps he succeeded because it really bothered me. But it didn't bother me for the reasons he thinks. Like, he didn't really win this fight because he thinks it bothered me because he freaked me out or he whatever. It's not that. It's that I'm weirded out by it because my brain goes in a loop trying to figure out why you would do it. And I can't find a good answer. There's no rationality. There's no common sense to this. There's nothing. I don't know. And every time I ask new questions, it just loops around to, I don't know what's happening with this guy. What's in his head? I'm going to move on. I'm fine. I know what kind of parent I am. I don't know what his were like. I can only guess, right? But it's just a weird thing. I don't get it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, whatever. It's the internet. I get it. I'm not naive. I get it. I understand. But occasionally one will come that will seem so from a different planet that I can't stop thinking about it for a while. And I'm pretty much over it now. But I wanted you guys to have a little payoff because I teased it and I said I'd talk about it. So here I am talking about it. So there. Take that for what it's worth. Okay. Found out today that the NSA used that Heartbleed vulnerability in the SSL server stuff, protocol crap that's been circulating around the last couple of weeks. Turns out they've used it or knew about it for a couple of years now and have used it to gather information. And they said nothing about it, of course. Now, this is just a report. An anonymous source told this to Bloomberg. Nothing proven yet, but if this is true, both the NSA and the White House are saying it's not true. But if it is true, that's a huge breach. That's a giant breach. An enormous breach. I mean, at some point I've kind of been a little bit slippery slope, but whatever, NSA, they can, you know, people as long as human beings have existed, have used whatever technology was available at the time. If it was a spy sneaking in and looking through windows and reporting back what he saw, all the way to now, where we're filtering through people's emails or looking at internet traffic or whatever. It doesn't matter. The technology of the day, when it's provided a way to do it, there have always been spies. There have always been people looking into things, sometimes under the guise of protecting people, sometimes to undermine the people, sometimes both without knowing it, blah, blah, blah. I understand it. I know it's always been around and I get it. And I'm not a fan of it per se, but I think I kind of had accepted that that was just the way things went. And this, though, seems worse. This is a real vulnerability. This would be like a daycare full of kids and there's a gas leak. Nobody knows about the gas leak. Okay. Nobody's aware of it, but it's a real danger and real nefarious if they did know, and eventually it could be a real problem, but they don't know there's this gas leak. Yet the neighbor across the street is aware of the gas leak, but because the gas leak involves them paying less for their gas bill, they don't say anything about it. In other words, it's to their advantage not to tell anybody, but to not tell anybody is just a moral, horrible thing that you're not telling somebody. And the thought that they would maybe know that and then never, and then 2 years later deny it or think that no one would ever figure out that it was a vulnerability. And were they hoping this window would just stay open as long as it could and that they'd be the only ones that would know. That never goes that way. Someone always figures this stuff out. So that's depressing. I'm also not one of these to jump on the bandwagon. An anonymous source telling Bloomberg that is that's something to be thinking about, and people should be digging in deeper and let's investigate this. But that's not enough for me to just jump down everyone's throat and assume it's all true yet. Like the commenters on this blog that I'm reading. No surprise. More coming. Anyway. And if you think, well, anyway, this is going to get real ugly real quick if this is true. Now, they're refuting it completely. The NSA is saying we absolutely did not know this. We didn't do it, and we didn't have anything to do with it, and we didn't use it. We didn't know it existed. That's what they're saying. They may be right. And again, I'm a big believer in just dig until you find the truth. Whatever the truth is, find it. If it's not the truth you hoped it was, well, then you shouldn't be looking, because then you're biased and you're screwing everything up. Let's get people who can really dig in deep. Call it naive. I don't care. It's the way it's supposed to work. I'm not jumping on either bandwagon, but if it's true, that really sucks. Someone should be held to account. If it isn't true, well, then good. We should still be vigilant and make sure something like that never happens. All right, that's it. I think I'm done. I do really do want to do more of these, so I'm going to try. Well, you guys have a great weekend. Have a fun early spring. I'm going to go outside in the hot weather right now and get a quick run in before I have to do more things. And if you have questions, feedback, thoughts, topics you'd like me to discuss, questions you have for me, email them, scott@frogpants.com. Super simple, easy, quick, and I'll take care of you. All right? Sounds good to me. Oh, don't forget, I really want to shake your hands and meet you, even hug some of you, at Nerdtacular 2014 this year. Happens over the July 4th weekend here in Salt Lake City, the beautiful Snowbird Resort, summer resort and hotel. Details at nerdtacular.com, and there still are some tickets left. I'd just love to see as many of you as we can. And there's big stuff coming. Really excited about it. Big band announcements, awesome panels, great people, lots of producers around the network, board gaming, costume contests, prizes all day for 2 days straight. Great place, great fun, great food, beautiful location. Oh, man. Come on, let's go. Let's do this. You ready? Let's roll. All right, that's it. I'll see you guys for another episode soon. And I swear, I mean it. Soon. Actual soon. Okay? All right. See ya.